Welcome to Sex with Simmery, frank, occasionally explicit edutainment on the most important topic of all. Sex with Simmery is not intended for children and is not safe for work unless your boss is particularly awesome. See more at sexwithsimmery.com.
Welcome to Sex with Simmery. Today, we're talking about buck saws. So, you may already be familiar with the controversy that is going on at Northwestern University. This is kind of, in some ways, a little bit of old news because it happened all the way back in February. But it continues to be an issue worthy of our discussion because the issues raised are certainly pertinent to us for forevers and always. What's the backstory here? What the hell am I talking about? Timmery, what are you talking about? Fuck off. All right. So February 21st, Northwestern University, which is in Evanston, Illinois, Professor J. Michael Bailey, who's been a professor there for a hot minute and has a huge history of controversy anyway, which we'll talk about in a minute, is teaching his human sexuality class. This is an incredibly popular class, as it usually is at most universities, with somewhere between 500, 600 students, depending on what you find. I found different enrollment numbers in different sources. But a huge number of students are there. And in the course of this class, they have done lots of things. They've watched lots of videos that had graphic sexual content. They've taken some field trips. And with most of their classes, there's the part that's required. That's the mandatory. You're attending class. This is when you have to be there. And then there's additional things which Professor Bailey made optional for students if they wanted to learn more about it. Some of them included panels and other field trips, things like that. An upcoming one that he has just sent a note to students saying that they're going to do is to go to a gay nightclub. Ooh. Anyway, these things are all optional. They don't affect your grade. Well, February 21st, at the end of a big lecture that included a video that had some discussion about female orgasm, different types of orgasms, and female ejaculation, at the end of it, there was a guest speaker who we will be discussing, and some of his associates who had come along with him, including someone who had a fuck saw, which is basically like a saw. Like what?
A sawzall.
Okay, so it's a sawzall. Which is basically like a drill, but it's got a dildo on the end of it. And it sounds much scarier than it is because it brings violent imagery to mind, or possibly the thing that George Clooney makes in Burn After Reading, whatever. It's just a little device that makes a dildo go in and out real fast. That's the point of it. It wasn't even a planned demonstration. And this is the post part of class where you can leave, you can go home, you can go to your dorm, you can go get high, it's fine. We're going to stay and continue to talk to these people. If you want to, you're welcome to. Students, stay in the room if you like to, or leave. So the guest lecturer was discussing the fuck saw, discussing female ejaculation. And then at the end of the conversation, after they'd repeatedly and reportedly up to 10 times warned people that they were free to go because it was going to be graphic and possibly something they didn't want to see, they proceeded to have a 3-minute demo where a 25-year-old woman got banged with a fuck saw by her 44-year-old fiance because they're exhibitionists and they do this sort of thing. And for those 3 minutes, her fiance stood in front of her, so you couldn't even really see her lady bits, according to the students who were there. And this 3-minute demonstration ended up causing this huge conflagration, which has been all over the media for the last couple of weeks. All right, so first, Northwestern defended this because it's a human sexuality class. The students are consensually in this class. For the most part, human sexuality classes, I don't know the exact specific specifications of this class, but largely human sexuality classes at undergraduate level are elective. There's absolutely no reason you would have to take this class. There tend to be for psychology credit. So if you're a psych major, you probably need psych credits, but not specifically sexuality ones. So this is a class purely of people who just wanted to go to it. And the university defends the choice of this very well respected and very tenured professor having a demonstration in his class that expands the boundaries of people's knowledge about human sexuality. It was a learning experience, and at first it was fun. Shortly thereafter, about a week later, the president of the university reversed the decision and came out telling the media that he was incredibly disappointed by the whole thing. His name is Morton Shapiro, the president of Northwestern. And he was telling the media about how the whole thing showed a great deal of lack of judgment on the part of J. Michael Bailey, the professor. He was troubled and disappointed that it happened. He figured a lot of people were upset about it, including him. And this is the reason that he ordered an investigation of the incident, which is ongoing. So that sucks, because the reversal is so clearly a caving to controversy, probably just a big stunt because there's people who put a lot of money into the university who are threatening to pull it, because that's what they tend to do. And I feel like it's a huge infringement on academic freedom. But it also just brings up the point of why anybody would be upset this happened in the first place. Because I don't really care what the president thinks or what the president feels like he has to say to people. And I'm not really sure the president's like 100% on this. And one of the reasons that I feel like it's a disingenuous response is that a friend of mine, a very good friend of mine, is a student at Northwestern and just forwarded me a letter that was sent from President Morton Shapiro to all of the student body. And it included a number of things that were vaguely referencing the incident and saying that, you know, there was a lot of controversy brought in because of recent events, but didn't actually address it specifically, and discussed a great deal of other ongoing things that Northwestern students and professors were involved in that were really impressive and see our institution is great. It's one of the best in the country. Didn't actually come out and say anything about the matter. And in fact, sort of gave me the impression that he might have been ambivalent about the whole thing by starting off the letter with this quote from Robert Frost. "Education is the ability to listen to almost anything without losing your temper or your self-confidence." Now, I don't know what the intention there is on the part of Morton Shapiro, what point that's trying to prove. But what I just heard from that is that education, the ability to listen to almost anything without losing your temper or your self-confidence, includes being able to sit in on a fucksaw demonstration without freaking the fuck out. So I'm not entirely certain from which this is originating. And again, I feel like there are a lot of possible political motivations to it. Science and academics have always had a lot of political things to them. So let's just go back to the original story, get a little bit more context, and discuss all the things that people are freaking out about. Okay, so this class, which has this particular day, they had been discussing bondage and fetish and things like that. And the class had decided that the depiction in the video, the part of the class that was actually mandatory, wasn't realistic enough, a realistic enough depiction of the female orgasm. And that what prompted this live presentation. So the whole thing happened again after class was over, when voluntary attendance was the rule. So the guest lecturer, his name is Ken Melvoin Berg. This is an interesting cat. So he was brought in to talk, and he was paid somewhere between $300 and $500 for his discussion. His job title is psychic detective. He's an occultist, and he leads Chicago weird tours, which include stops of things that are on the sexual underground, locations where sex crimes happen, just letting people know about the kinkier side of Chicago. He's an interesting cat, but I don't think that he's necessarily to blame for this controversy at all. The biggest beef I have with him is the fact that he still has a working MySpace page, but whatever. He also has Twitter, and he's still selling the hell out of fucksaws right now. So if you want one, they're in stock right now, but he's pretty sure they're going to sell out again. So if you want one, get on it and get yourself a fucksaw. Anyway, so this guy, the psychic detective, does the whole thing. And then the two people that actually demonstrate are just two random exhibitionists. And then there's a fourth person who owned the fucksaw. These are the people involved. And as I said, her privates were blocked the entire time. Privates. I don't know why I'm talking like that. None of them have any regrets about the whole thing. And they've talked to the media a lot lately. They're pretty hard to get a hold of because they've just got inquiries from everybody. Nobody has any regrets. None of them really understand why people are freaking out, because it was way tamer than other things that have happened. The class has had live panels of people come to talk who were transvestites. They had gay men come in and talk about their sex lives. And then they also had a panel of sex offenders who came in and discussed their experiences, which, I mean,
my personal opinion, I think that would be a lot more awkward. And as a person who has studied human sexuality and taken classes where I've gone to similar panels, I, again, found the sex offender panels to probably be the thing that was most upsetting to me, not the videos of people peeing on each other. Like, I don't care if you want pee on your head. That doesn't affect me at all. Sex offenders, that's a different thing. Anyway, J. Michael Bailey, let's talk about him. He's the professor. He says he has no regrets concerning this because Northwestern students have demonstrated that they are open-minded grown-ups rather than fragile children. I think that that is a pretty relevant statement. Recordings of the actual class made by students included the statement that he said, "Sticks and stones may break your bones, but watching people on stage doing pleasurable things to each other will never hurt you." Also, I think a good summation of why it would be stupid to freak out about this. The student body, in response to this entire thing, has been mixed. It sounds like most of students don't care. They just really like the opportunity to make fucksaw jokes, as we all do. One student wrote in the North by Northwestern in an article titled "To Each Their Own Fucksaw," calls out the hypocrisy of this fake prudery, because most people have premarital sex but like refuse to act like that's actually happening, and was an actual student in the class and said that nobody was being coerced at all, and several people left right away and it was fine. Nobody gave them any crap about it. Another student writing for the Northwestern Chronicle, who I think is full of crap, started his response was something like, "I love liberty." And then I'm like waiting for the big but, which, because starting something like, "I love rights and I think everybody has the right to use a fucksaw if they feel like it," is almost invariably followed by, "but not really." It's kind of like starting a sentence with, "I'm not racist, but," because that's basically saying, "I don't want to label myself this way and I know that you're going to, so I'm going to stop you ahead of time by telling you no." Anyway, he implied that the biggest problem was that the professor, by the nature of being a professor, who's a respected person, who's in charge of your grades, etc., is inherently coercive. And therefore, the students don't really have voluntary attendance. My argument to that would be, there's 600 students. If your professor notices that you leave, that's because you were already pretty memorable. You're doing something else. Anyway. So this student wrote this in the Northwestern Chronicle and got completely reamed in the comments, partly for comparing this event to the reason that like a professor can't teach Holocaust denial or about the weather underground as a practical application class, which is a silly set of analogies anyway. So it's really, I'm not entirely certain what the temperature is over at Northwestern, but my friend has sort of indicated that most people think it's funny. So I'm trying to think, just even in my head, to be like intellectually honest, who can be mad about this? People who weren't in the room, I just don't think have any say in the matter. So I'm trying to think of like who has a legitimate right to be upset about this controversy. So I'm thinking maybe it's the people who are working for the disabled students in the room. You know how like if somebody has like a hearing or visual impairment, they can have somebody come in and help them either do the sign language of the fucksaw noises or come in and I guess do a transcription. I feel like that's the only person who would be there involuntarily. But there's also the argument, I guess, that like if you're a parent paying for this class, like you have some right to be upset. And I guess you do if your money is going to something you don't like. But that's college. I mean, you don't have to like all of college. You're not paying to like it. You're paying for the opportunity to get to learn stuff. And if it's between the parent and the child, if there's a disagreement about whether or not the parent gets to say what classes the student takes, well, that's their fucking problem. That's not the problem for the students who want to take this class. Like, this should not be an option because your dad and mom don't want you to take this class or the class that says communism isn't evil or the class that's just a big waste of time because it's underwater basket weaving or whatever. That's an in-house dilemma. That's not the university's problem. That's not our problem as other people in the world, and certainly shouldn't be the other student's problem. The biggest controversy for me is J. Michael Bailey himself, the professor, who, as I mentioned before, has garnered plenty of controversy in his day. He's a psychologist. He got a undergraduate degree in math and then went on to get psych degrees. And he has gained most of his fame from his work around sexual orientation and gender identity. He was one of the first people to do massive twin studies that led him to conclude that sexual orientation, homosexuality, especially because that's what most people are talking about when they talk about sexual orientation, he mostly concluded that it's an inherited trait, that it's a genetic thing, that it's prenatal at minimum. So it's not a choice, which has been, you know, controversial to some people and groundbreaking in other ways. He also was very controversial because of his book, The Man Who Would Be Queen, which is about gender bending and transsexualism. And what was upsetting about that is not that he's writing about that, but that he pissed off all the transsexual people who read it because he implied that it's not an identity, it's just an orientation, and that there's two different types. There's either people who are just so gay that they decide to be the other sex, and then there are people that are actually just fetishists with autogynephilia, which is just love of their own vagina. They're just attracted and turned on by the idea of being a woman. His implication being that being transgender is not a part of who you are, separate from your orientation, which is what I would argue, but rather it is just an orientation. It is either extreme homosexuality or a fetish. And he talked about how trans women specifically are often involved in prostitution, and he made a lot of assertions that were found to be incredibly offensive and harmful to the trans population, and many scholars argued that he had done irreparable damage on the relationship between transgender people and the academic community who would want to work with them, learn more about treating people with gender dysphoria, or just understanding the process itself. That they argued that J. Michael Bailey, by doing this and being so hurtful potentially in his comments, and possibly, arguably, including stories in the book that people had not consented to being stories in a book, they didn't realize that they were subjects for a book. That's another controversy. But the point is, this guy has been getting some steam at him for some time. He's used to it, possibly benefited greatly from it. I mean, the fact that I know his name right off hand isn't simply because I'm a human sexuality student. It's also just because, you know, you end up in the news for things sometimes. So that to me is the biggest thing that anybody would be freaking out about. It's just that this guy has had questionable ethics or standpoints before. But there are still people freaking out about that. There are people who just, like, their knee-jerk reaction is you can't do this in an academic setting. It's an inappropriate setting. It's not the place where this should happen. And I disagree entirely. There's no place where it is appropriate if you just think it's a bad thing to do. If the field trip is to go see it someplace else, you're going to object to that as well, because why would you bring students there? Whether it's voluntary or not. We're forgetting the very basic thing that this is a college class. This wasn't a bunch of junior high kids as part of their eighth grade learning about your bodies class. This is legal adults who, for the most part, can vote, can buy guns. Some of them can probably buy alcohol, and they can most certainly sign contracts, including joining the military, getting married. Some of them may have children. There's even discussion about lowering the voting age to 16, since so many young people have so much skin in the game in terms of, like, they're concerned about what happens with education and with wars and with taxes and things like that. And kids turn out to political rallies and they volunteer for candidates, but they may not necessarily get to vote until they're 18. So these are legal adults. And if you don't think that they can volunteer to be in this position, then that's just a really arbitrary misremembering of what it was like when you were a kid. The identification of the arbitrary time when you are an adult and you are free to decide things, and when you're just like this poor, helpless lump of clay who's just going to be molded and shaped by whatever hands come in contact with you, it's just a silly setup. And the whole thing is also missing the point of higher education, which is expanding your boundaries, not just sticking to things you already know, not just sticking to things that can be read in books, but experiencing different types of people, experiencing environments that you wouldn't otherwise, and expanding the boundaries of how to think critically about these things. This is completely missing that point. And finally, just as the Northwestern student in the To Each Their Own Fucksaw article argued, this is fake prudery. It's a bunch of bullshit. People who get upset about this are not virgins for the most part. They're people who do their own thing in their own time, and they just don't want anybody to be doing anything that they don't want to be doing. They don't want to be honest, so they want to be mad at other people for being honest. I definitely like to hear everybody else's comments on this matter, although I feel like if you're listening to this, especially this far in, you probably already have agreed with me or something. So thank you very much, and I would love to hear your thoughts on this controversy. All right, so we're going to try out a new segment to the Sex with Timory podcast. It's gonna be homework. Yeah, I know that doesn't sound fun. It's gonna be fun homework. It's gonna be fun homework. So this whole controversy with Northwestern definitely got me thinking about how we need to push our boundaries and expand beyond what we're comfortable with in a safe, sane, and consensual environment. And so I'm gonna ask you each podcast to say yes to something that you wouldn't normally, and then I'm going to give you a possible option. And obviously this is not like homework that I'm going to check up on, but I will like you to send emails reporting back on what you did and how it went, just so we know. Again, you can send any emails to sexwithtimaree, T-I-M-A-R-E-E, at gmail.com. Okay, so today, your homework, 69ing. I shit you not. That's your homework tonight. So why did I pick that? Because I want to start out with something simple that is I've heard from a lot of people, a thing that they're not necessarily comfortable with, but that could lead to some pretty good outcomes. Even if you've done it before, whatever, whether you like it or not, my advice is to just give it another good solid whack. 69 is a classic. It's mutual oral sex. You and your partner are both going down on each other at the same time, which usually means you end up positioned with your head going one direction, their head going the other direction, and one of you's on top, or however you make it work, you can be laying on your sides. People have expressed to me that they find this uncomfortable for a couple reasons. One is that they feel like they have difficulty with the multitasking part of it, which is doing while also receiving, that they can only do one at a time, which I think is definitely something that we should all work on, the idea of getting pleasure from giving pleasure while receiving pleasure. That's just a cool idea. And also you'll build those new neural pathways when you do something you're not used to, just like brushing your teeth with the other hand, that sort of thing. Also, some people say that it's uncomfortable because there's an ass in their face or their ass is in someone's face and that's uncomfortable. And then there's some discussion on whether it's better to be on the top or bottom. And again, you can be on your sides. I'm cool with that. Or if you're acrobatic, one of you can be completely upside down, anything you like. So I'd just like you to give it a shot, get into a comfortable position. If you don't like it, if it's terrible, then stop. But just give it a good shot. That's your homework for the week. And again, let me know how it went. sexwithtimory@gmail.com. Thank you for listening to Sex with Timory. Please check out more from sexwithtimory.com, where Monday through Friday there's new content, including polls, weekly sex columns, and Friday sex links. And if you have any questions, comments, or violent reactions, please email them to sexwithtimory@gmail.com. That's sexwithtimaree@gmail.com. And thank you.